So when one speaks of the eternal Buddha, or when the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra speaks in terms of the eternal Buddha, one is not to understand the word eternal as in the sense of indefinitely prolonged in time, but rather in the sense of being outside time altogether. And this means, therefore, that for the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, as for the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha symbolizes the dimension of eternity, or symbolizes reality as existing outside time. And this is why we speak of the Buddha and the Bodhisattva, eternity and time. The Buddha here represents this dimension of eternity, the dimension above and beyond, or outside time. And similarly, therefore, the Bodhisattva represents the dimension of time, or represents reality, represents even Buddhahood as manifesting in, though this again is metaphorical, in time. And it isn't very difficult to understand how this should be so, how the Bodhisattva should represent or symbolize the dimension of time. Because as we've seen, the Bodhisattva follows the path, engages in certain activities, originates, that is to say, a certain sequence of thoughts and words and deeds, and this sequence is progressive. In other words, the Bodhisattva manifests the relative bodhicitta to an ever-increasing degree, and all this whole process, takes place in time. And this is the process of what we've elsewhere called the process of the higher evolution, or rather it's the upper reaches of the higher evolution. But we can take a view even broader than this. We can regard the Bodhisattva as symbolizing the whole evolutionary process, the whole process of life going on to higher and ever higher forms, symbolizing not only the higher evolution itself, but even the lower evolution, the evolution, that is to say, from the very beginnings of life up to man in his unenlightened state, just as the higher evolution is the evolution, the development of man from the unenlightened to the enlightened state, the state of Buddhahood. We can regard all this as being, in a way, one continuous process, or at least we can regard the process or the course of the higher evolution as arising in dependence upon the lower one. And this view, we may say, this interpretation, we may say, is supported by the Jataka stories. The Jatakas, many of you may know, are one particular branch of Buddhist canonical literature. There are also many non-canonical Jatakas. And traditionally, the Jatakas are stories of the previous lives of Gautama the Buddha. You all know, you all understand that Buddhism traditionally teaches rebirth, or what is popularly known in the West as reincarnation. And this, of course, applies to the Buddha himself. The Buddha had innumerable previous lives, previous existences, according to tradition. And the stories of some of these previous lives are given in that branch of literature which we call the Jataka stories. And these Jataka stories show how, from life to life, the Buddha, or the future Buddha, the Bodhisattva, advanced in the direction of enlightenment. Now, scholars have had a look at these Jataka stories. You know what scholars are like. They sort of probe and they penetrate and they turn over and they ask all sorts of awkward questions. So scholars in the West have had a look at these Jataka stories, and they've discovered that quite a number of them are old Indian folk tales that have been turned into Jatakas by the simple process of identifying the Buddha with the hero. It's rather as though in the West, we've taken all Aesop's fables and identified, say, Christ 500 years later with the principal character in each fable, and regarded the fable as being a birth story, telling the story of one of the previous lives of Christ. So this is what the early Buddhists did, apparently, with a vast mass of Indian folklore. They turned these folk stories into Jatakas by the simple process of identifying the Buddha with the hero of the story. And this applies particularly to the non-canonical Jatakas. It doesn't apply in quite the same way to the canonical Jatakas, but there's only about 30 of them, not more, whereas there are well over 550 non-canonical Jataka stories. So this whole subject has occasioned quite a lot of discussion among scholars, especially as some of the folk tales are, in fact, animal fables. So the result is, if you take it literally, that the Buddha is identified with, or as having been, a particular animal who is the hero of that particular story. And some scholars ask us whether Buddhists take all this quite literally, whether we are in fact to think that the particular hero, who might have been a hare, or a deer, or a lion, or a goat, etc., really represented the Buddha as he was in his own previous existence, his own previous life. Now, we need not be quite so literal-minded. In some parts of the Buddhist East, they are literal-minded, and they do quite honestly regard the Jatakas as really and truly representing or depicting the actual previous lives of the Buddha. The simple-minded people everywhere take things in this way, and so Buddhists in the East often think that the hare Jataka, for instance, in the course of which the Buddha is born as a hare and sacrifices his life, represents a real historical previous life of the Buddha. But we need not be quite so simple-minded as that. But we can say, adopting a more intelligent point of view perhaps, that the Jatakas quite clearly represent or depict a sort of evolutionary process. Because in each Jataka there's a situation, there's a story, there are a number of characters, and in each Jataka there is a hero. In other words, there's someone, a man or an animal, who stands out from the rest, who stands above the rest, as it were, who is more advanced than the rest, and who therefore may be said to represent, in comparison with the rest, a more advanced, a higher stage of evolution. And it's significant that this particular figure, this hero figure, is identified with the Buddha. And this means that this figure represents, at that particular stage, that same evolutionary, here lower evolutionary urge, which ultimately resulted in the production, single inverted commas, of a Buddha, that is to say, a Nirmanakaya Buddha in the future. Now, just as the end result, as it were, is symbolized by the Buddha, so this evolutionary urge itself is symbolized by the Bodhisattva. And the Buddha, of course, in the Jatakas is always referred to as the Bodhisattva. And we're told that the hero of the story was, in fact, the Bodhisattva. In other words, the Buddha to be.